Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Come spend the Sabbath with us. We meet at 828 3rd Street in beautiful Hudson, Wisconsin, only 25 minutes from downtown St. Paul. For more information, click on Services and Location at BethEmmanuel.org.
Bereshit is the Hebrew word in the beginning. It's the first word of the Torah and the first word of the book of Genesis. The word, in the beginning, alludes to new beginnings. On Shabbat Bereshit, we read in our Torah portion that God made the heavens and the earth in 6 days. As we know, scientists argue with the Torah about that proposition. And people get swept up into this debate of the Bible or science. The Bible or science. Did God really create everything in 6 days? But from my perspective, I think the real question we should be asking is, why 6 days at all? Why not 6 bazillion years? I mean, it's not like he's in a hurry. Why not 6 seconds? It's not like it would take him any longer than 6 seconds. Why not 6 nanoseconds? Why the number 6 at all? What's the Torah's point in telling us that it happened in 6 days? And the point is, from my perspective, is that it leads up to something. Genesis chapter 1 is definitely building up to something. Vayehi erev, vayehi voker, yom echad. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. And then you read a little further, and there was evening, and there was morning, 2 days. And you read a little further, and there was evening, and there was morning, 3 days. And you see that a pattern is emerging, and the story is going someplace. And there was evening, and there was morning, 4 days. You can feel the tension building, the anticipation. And there was evening, and there was morning, 5 days. It's all building up to something. It's heading someplace. And there was evening, and there was morning, 6 days. And then we arrive at the big moment. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the 7th day, God finished his work, all that he had done, and he rested on the 7th day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the 7th day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. 7 is the divine number. The 7th day is the holy day. It's the first thing in all creation that God declared holy. It's the last thing in the creation narrative. But the sages say it was the first thing God set out to do. Last in deed, but first in thought. So according to Judaism, the point of the Sabbath being on the 7th day is not happenstance, that it just so happened that it took God 6 days to make the heavens and the earth, and that's why he rested, because he was all tired out on the 7th day, but rather God spread the creation over the 6 days to establish the Sabbath on the 7th. At any rate, that is the point behind the story. This is not a story about the creation of the heavens and the earth with the Sabbath tacked on at the end. This is a story about the creation of the Sabbath with the creation of the heavens and the earth as just a necessary prelude. This year at Beth Emmanuel, in the new year 5776 of the Jewish calendar, we are committing ourselves to 3 big campaigns, 3 initiatives, which I first announced to the community of Beth Emmanuel on the first day of the Holy Festival of Sukkot. Campaign number 1, we're calling Come Home to Hudson, a concerted effort to persuade our Messianic brothers and sisters who are scattered across the country to relocate to Hudson, actually, physically joining us here in beautiful, historic Hudson, Wisconsin. To be part of the community and to grow this community, to grow Messianic Judaism and to work alongside us toward the kingdom of heaven for the sake of our holy master Yeshua. Campaign number 2 is called Oneg Shabbat. This campaign focuses our attention and energy on the Sabbath day, our own private and corporate observance of the Sabbath, but also on Sabbath outreach, propagating a broader awareness of the Sabbath day, the 7th day, and working to create more venues where the Sabbath can be honored and celebrated by more people. Campaign number 3 is the establishment of a local learning center, where high school graduates from Messianic Jewish families can attend classes at Beth Emanuel to get a solid Bible education and can experience Messianic Judaism hands-on. All right, on Shabbat Chol HaMoed of Sukkot, I tried to convey the vision for the Come Home to Hudson campaign. Then, a few days later, on Shabbat Bereshit, I introduced the second campaign, the Oneg Shabbat campaign. It seemed like an appropriate occasion to do so because the first Torah reading, Parshat Bereshit of Shabbat Bereshit, first introduces us to the seventh day, the Holy Sabbath day. So from the very outset of the Bible, we have the seventh day Sabbath. It's the first thing that God declares holy. So I find it especially ironic, especially telling that despite its presence, right there, right at the beginning of the Bible, most of our brothers and sisters and fellow disciples of Yeshua are completely unaware of the existence of the Sabbath, and they fall into a few different categories. Category one, those who know the Sabbath was once on the seventh day, but they assume it was canceled by the New Testament. Category two, those who know the Sabbath was once on the seventh day, but they assume the New Testament or the apostles moved it to Sunday to celebrate the resurrection. And category three, those who know the Sabbath is on the wrong day, but they don't care enough to celebrate or to observe it. And finally, category four, this is like the four sons at the Passover table. Category four, those who have no real concept of the Sabbath at all. At one time, most Christians fell into the first two categories. Those who know the Sabbath was on the seventh day, but they assume it was canceled, or those who know the Sabbath was once on the seventh day, but they assume it was moved to Sunday. Today, as biblical literacy declines and people of faith have less and less connection with the biblical text and sound teaching, most people have moved from category one or category two into that last category, those who have no real concept of the Sabbath at all. And this represents an enormous opportunity for the kingdom of heaven. Because in earlier generations, discussions about the Sabbath and its observance and the correct day on which to observe the Sabbath was hopelessly twisted up in arguments from those who assume it was canceled by the New Testament or moved to Sunday. Only a few people persevered to find the truth, small Sabbatarian groups here and there. Outside of the Jewish people, the Sabbath was simply not even a real subject of discussion. But today, when most people of faith have no concept of the Sabbath at all, we can move past the arguments that bogged us down in previous generations, the theological wrangling, and we can start simply introducing people to the Sabbath as a fresh start. And that's what this campaign, Oneg Shabbat, is all about. I believe that Sabbatarianism is the first, best entry into the Torah and into Messianic Jewish understanding. That is why, I believe, the Torah begins with the Sabbath, because it's a first step. It's the first step into our faith. The deep and profound lessons of the Sabbath and how the Sabbath sets apart a people for God, how it sanctifies us, how it draws us together, forges us together, how it forces us together, how it establishes a rhythm of holiness in our lives, forces us into community together and brings us to the table together and around the scriptures together, and it forces us to keep our lives God-centered and God-focused rather than me-focused. All these deep, profound lessons of the Sabbath are so rich that we could spend a whole year talking about the Sabbath. And I intend to. We're going to put the Sabbath back in Beth Emanuel Sabbath Fellowship. Yeshua of Nazareth is the center of our faith. We are, first of all, followers of the Messiah, which is what the word messianic implies. We are followers of the Messiah, seeking his kingdom. We are all about the gospel message, the good news of the kingdom. We are kingdom-centered. But the Sabbath is the day of the kingdom. If Yeshua is king of the kingdom, and he is, the Sabbath is the day of the kingdom. So we, in the Messianic Jewish movement, are Sabbatarian. I'm calling this campaign Oneg Shabbat, which means delight of the Sabbath. The name is derived from the text that says, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, and if you honor it, not going your own way or seeking your own pleasure, talking idly and so forth. When it says, call the Sabbath a delight, this is the word oneg, Sabbath delight. We are to consider the Sabbath an oneg. We are to consider the Sabbath a delight. How do you do that? Jewish law says that the Sabbath keeper sanctifies the Sabbath with food and drink and clean clothing, all of which he enjoys, and God rewards him, so it's a bonus. And Jewish tradition, as you know, reserves the most elaborate meals of the week for the Sabbath in order to increase our delight, our oneg, our delight on that day. And as you know, the traditional Jewish Sabbath includes three festival meals, three festive banquets, Friday night, Saturday after the morning prayers, and Saturday afternoon. The Talmud says, how does one fulfill the obligation to delight in the Sabbath? Rav Yehuda ben Rabbi Shmuel ben Shilat said in the name of Rav, I delight in the Sabbath with a large bowl of beets, a big fish, and a few heads of garlic. Rabbi Chia ben Ashi said in the name of Rav, so long as the food is prepared in honor of the Sabbath, even a small portion of food is a delight. Rabbi Papa said, what constitutes a small portion? A piece of gefilte fish. That's what Oneg Shabbat is all about. A piece of gefilte fish. So the Oneg Shabbat campaign, the Delight in the Sabbath campaign, has two components. First of all, we are concentrating on helping ourselves here at Beth Emmanuel Sabbath Fellowship to better honor, observe, sanctify, and delight in the Sabbath. After all, it's right in our name, Beth Emmanuel Sabbath Fellowship. Second, the Oneg Shabbat campaign focuses on propagating an awareness of the Sabbath outside of Beth Emmanuel in the larger Messianic movement and in the larger body of Messiah. So, first, we need to firm up what we mean by the Sabbath and Sabbatarianism. And second, we want to share this delight in the Sabbath with the rest of the world. Do you know what the word Sabbatarian means? It means Sabbath keeping. In Messianic Judaism, we are Sabbath keepers, Sabbatarian. That does not mean that we are all Jewish, or that we are all halakhically in the same category as the Jewish people and thereby required to keep the Sabbath to the same standard as defined by Jewish law for the Jewish people. But here's what it means to me as a Gentile to be Sabbatarian. It means that I have opted in to the Sabbath, to honor the Sabbath, to remember the Sabbath, and on some level or another, to keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath. That's what it means to be Sabbatarian. Being a Sabbatarian means that, at a minimum, I remember the Sabbath. I honor it and sanctify it by saying Kiddush, or hearing Kiddush said over a cup of wine at the beginning of the Sabbath. I eat three meals on the Sabbath, even if they're just token meals. They don't need to be banquets. They could be just a piece of gefilte fish, but they need to be specifically in honor of the Sabbath. And I set aside the Sabbath day from normal time and make it holy. During which it's a holy time during which I pursue things related to holiness and to the kingdom, like prayer, Torah study, and worship, rather than normal things that fill the normal work days, the normal weekdays. And being a Sabbatarian means that I put the Sabbath before other things. I prioritize it. And I can only speak for myself in this regard, but to me, keeping the Sabbath is more important than things like going to work, than my vocation, than making a living. The Sabbath is more valuable than that. The Sabbath represents to me a pearl of great price for which a man was willing to sell all that he had, that he might purchase it. It represents a field in which a man discovered a buried treasure, and he went and gladly sold all that he had that he might acquire it. So to me, even as a Gentile, even as one who is not legally liable before the court on earth or the court in heaven for the violation of the Sabbath, to me, the Sabbath is non-negotiable. I can't work on the Sabbath. Sometimes I had to quit or threatened to quit before my employer would get that message. But as a Sabbatarian, I don't work on the Sabbath. I realize that now everyone shares that same conviction. And I'm not suggesting it is a sin for a Gentile to work on the Sabbath. And sometimes a person finds that he has no recourse, no choice in a matter whatsoever, as all things in life suddenly conspire against him to force him to work on the holy days. So I can't hold other people to that same standard. The Bible does not make non-Jews responsible to observe that standard, as you know, And sometimes it falls in the category of a guy has to do what a guy has to do. And there's different vocations and exceptions, like doctors who have to work on the Sabbath and so forth. But nevertheless, I would have you ask yourself some hard questions. Which is more important to me? By which choice am I seeking first the kingdom? Because our master says we're not to worry about what we will eat, what we'll drink, what we'll wear, for these are things that the nations run after. But we are to be confident that if we seek first the kingdom, these other necessities of life will be added to us as well. Our Father in heaven will help us. And to me, that's part of being Sabbatarian. To me, being Sabbatarian means understanding and respecting the Sabbath boundaries, including the prohibitions on work, the prohibitions on melacha. Now, I don't observe them all. And as a Gentile, I'm not legally required to by the Bible or by Jewish law, as I've explained to you in the past. But I should know what they are, at least. I should at least understand what the prohibited categories of work are, and I should honor them and observe them to the extent that I am able to, and to the extent that my family agrees upon, and that we have peace and concord upon. And some of these I have taken upon myself. For example, this is just an example. One of the prohibitions of the Sabbath is the prohibition on writing, on using a pen, a pencil, writing things on paper, or electronically creating text. And this makes a lot of sense to me, because on the Sabbath, God ceased from creating. And as we know, he created only by the agency of his word. So on the Sabbath, I don't write words. After all, that's my trade. I'm a writer. That's what I do. That's my job. I write words every day. But not on the Sabbath. I don't write on the Sabbath. I don't take notes on the Sabbath. I don't even handle a pen on the Sabbath. And I can't hold other non-Jewish believers to that standard. It's not a sin. But it's something I do to observe the Sabbath. And I think that to be Sabbatarian, to be a Sabbath keeper, I need to make decisions about what that means. I need to make personal decisions about all the prohibitions, whether I'm going to observe them or not, and if so, to what extent. And these are decisions that each individual Sabbath keeper needs to make. We need to decide and make informed decisions personally where the lines are and draw those lines firmly and then stay within them. The point is not to judge others who make different decisions, because others will make different decisions and come to different convictions. The point is to judge ourselves. Otherwise, we're just playing games with the Sabbath, keeping it when it's convenient. Now, I can only speak for myself here, again, because as Paul warns, he says, if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one must examine his own work, and then he will have a reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. So when it comes to these matters, we should judge ourselves, examining our own work, not comparing ourselves to others. And each one should bear his own load, so to speak, but not on the Sabbath, outside the Eruv. What if I did write on the Sabbath? What if I took a pen and wrote my name on the Sabbath? Would that be a sin for me? No, not for me, because as a non-Jew, I'm not under the obligation to keep that prohibition. However, I'm not going to do that because I decided that this is one way I can sanctify the Sabbath, one way that I can honor and remember the Sabbath. And I'm only speaking for myself here. But I think that we all of us in the Messianic Jewish movement, whether you're a Messianic Gentile or a Messianic Jew, everybody, all of us, we need to take a closer look at how we observe the Sabbath. We dare not treat the holy day with disrespect. We don't want to treat it casually. We don't want to have a cavalier attitude towards the Sabbath, regardless of if you're Jewish or not. Because, well, for one thing, in the Messianic Jewish movement, we represent Yeshua of Nazareth. We represent Yeshua of Nazareth, the Jewish Yeshua of Nazareth, and his reputation is on the line. And another thing, it's the Sabbath. I can only speak for myself here. And this is my own personal decision. I'm not speaking for anyone else or even for the members of my own family, but I believe that honoring the Sabbath as a Sabbatarian Messianic Gentile requires me to unplug on the Sabbath. This is my own personal conviction. For me, the phone gets shut off on Friday. The computer is shut off on Friday. Media sources, entertainment devices, television, radio, music, Wi-Fi, web access, Facebook, Google, internet, photos, selfies, emailing, texting. For me, all of that ceases to exist on the Sabbath. Because those things bring the profane world into the Sabbath, and they don't belong on the holy day. It is written, the smartphone was made for man, not man for the smartphone. So I encourage you to show your phone who the boss is and shut it off on the Sabbath. It's my personal opinion. You can take it or leave it. And I promise I won't judge. But I encourage you to think it through. Those are a few of the things, just a few of the things that I personally have chosen to do to sanctify the Sabbath better as a Sabbatarian Messianic Gentile. And as you can see, I feel pretty strongly about the Sabbath. I feel so strongly about the Sabbath that I wrote a whole book about it. It's going to be coming up from First Fruits of Zion, you know, sometime in the next 12 months, God willing. It's called From Sabbath to Sabbath, and with God's help, it'll come out this year, and we'll use it as part of this campaign, this Oneg Shabbat campaign. But the first step in this Sabbath campaign is to make sure that we ourselves are honoring the Sabbath before we try to teach others about the Sabbath, right? We don't want to fall into the category of the person who says, let me remove the speck from your eye, but does not notice the log in his own eye. And toward this end, we're going to do several new things here at Beth Emmanuel. First of all, I'm proposing a short Sabbath reading list. I want us as a community to read three books. Number one, Abraham Joshua Heschel's book, The Sabbath. It's in our library. Number two, Aryeh Kaplan's book, Day of Eternity. It's in our library. It's available from Art Scroll. Number three, my forthcoming book, From Sabbath to Sabbath, when it becomes available. If you don't like to read books, we have a reading group. Every Sabbath, we read a little bit at third meal here at Beth Emmanuel. We'll read a chapter or so every Sabbath till we get through these books. Second thing, for this Torah year, I'm going to keep the weekly Saturday morning Parsha teachings focused on the Shabbat. You'll see what I mean as we go. Essentially, we are going to be looking at each Parsha and asking, what does the Torah teach us this week in regard to the Sabbath? Now, ordinarily, when I come to the Parsha and think, what should I teach from the Parsha this week? I look at it and I ask, what does the Torah portion this week teach us in regard to Messiah and the kingdom? And I'm not setting that most important theme aside, not at all. But rather, this year, we will be augmenting it with a focus on the Shabbat. The next phase in the Oneg Shabbat campaign involves active Sabbath outreach. And I'm not exactly sure what that's going to look like, but I have some sort of vague, fuzzy ideas that are starting to come together. We're going to become advocates for Sabbatarianism. So here's a few ideas I have off the top of my head. First of all, web articles. I'm going to create a series of very short, easy to read, easy to understand, shareable web articles with titles like, what day is the seventh day? And what day is the Sabbath? And what does Sabbath mean? Did Jesus keep the Sabbath? What about when does the Sabbath begin? And how did Jesus keep the Sabbath? And so forth. And these we'll post these on the Beth Emmanuel website. Maybe we'll post them on the First Fruits of Zion website as part of the daily articles. We need help with these. Maybe you want to help us write some of these. Submit them to us. That would be fabulous. If you're an aspiring writer, try cutting your teeth on a few of these. Number two, videos. We're going to link our website to Aaron Eby's Sabbath Table videos. We're going to promote First Fruits of Zion's new Hayasod module, a 10-lesson study on the Sabbath day when it comes out next year in 2016, God willing. Audio teachings, number three, audio teachings. We will have these weekly Parsha teachings from our Sabbath podcast going out, raising awareness about the Sabbath. And number four, books. We are going to put Sabbatarian books and First Fruits of Zion books into your hands here at Beth Emmanuel. And when the new books From Sabbath to Sabbath comes out, God willing and with God's help, we'll have a big release party here in Hudson for the sake of disseminating information about the Sabbath. Number five, advertising. I have to approach the board of directors when we do our 2016 budget about placing print ads to propagate the Sabbath in local papers. I hope that in the coming year, we will publish the Friday candle lighting and Havdalah times in the local Hudson paper every week. And why stop there? Why not the River Falls paper, the Stillwater paper, the Woodbury paper, if we can afford to do so? And you can help us afford to do so. Number 6, establishing Sabbath fellowship houses. This is the really big idea. Sabbath fellowship houses for those outside of Hudson. Because not everyone is going to be able to come home to Hudson. Now, ideally, we want like-minded Messianic Jews and Gentiles to relocate to Hudson and join us here at Beth Emmanuel. But not everyone will be able to do that. So we need to give them something to do as well. With God's help, we'll find families and even individuals who are of the right spirit. And with the hospitality of Abraham and Sarah, and with the strength of Isaac and Rebekah, and the truth and convictions of Jacob and Rachel and Leah, we'll find these candidates, and then we will help them set up Sabbath fellowship houses, which means we will equip them to host Friday night Sabbath dinners in their homes. And these Friday night dinners will be open events, inviting in anyone who wants to attend. And they'll involve a traditional Sabbath meal and easy-to-sing songs in English and Hebrew and a short teaching from the Torah portion, which can be read out loud right at the table. Maybe a word of the Master that can be read right at the table. We already create these in the form of the weekly Idrash and the weekly E-Disciple that goes out from First Fruits of Zion. So we can supply all of that. We have the technology. We just need the people who will be willing to open their homes and open their hearts. And these Sabbath houses can spring up all over the country and spread the light of the Sabbath to our brothers and sisters, to Messianic Jews, Messianic Gentiles, Gentile Christians, in places that we otherwise would never be able to reach. That's our goal. And of course, we're going to need a lot of help with this initiative. We're going to need people who are good at organizing and coordinating and administrating and administering. It's a big dream. Finally, number 7. The 7th thing off the top of my head is bringing people to Hudson. Encouraging them to visit or even to move here for a little while. Or to come and study as students at the Learning Center, where they can experience the Sabbath firsthand. Teaching about the Sabbath's rhythms and routines and rituals and other words that start with R. And if they cannot come to us, we will send people to them. We will send teachers out, as God provides, to teach others about the Sabbath. Those are 7 examples of things we might do. And we might think of more things to do as the campaign goes on. Essentially, there's 2 components to this campaign. First of all, concentrating on helping us here at Beth Emmanuel Sabbath Fellowship to better honor, observe, sanctify, and delight in the Sabbath. After all, it's right in our name. Second, the Oneg Shabbat campaign will focus on propagating an awareness of the Sabbath outside of Beth Emmanuel in the larger Messianic movement and the larger body of Messiah. Now, altogether, this is an enormous amount of work, which will take a ton of energy and commitment from this community. I know that. But I believe that you are up to the task and sufficient for the calling. And if we commit ourselves to better honor the Sabbath for the sake of our Master Yeshua, I am certain God will honor us. As it says, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.